This morning I have a mind to preach to you some from a passage of Scripture that is found in Hebrews chapter 12 and beginning in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Our beloved Apostle Paul was writing this book to the Hebrews of the first century, who were very discouraged in their Christian walk, and they were being sorely persecuted by Rome and by the Judaizers, the Pharisees of their day, who were not believers in Jesus. They were suffering. And because of this, some of them were really tempted to turn back to Judaism, to give up their Christian profession. So the Apostle Paul is writing them this letter to encourage them in their Christian walk, help them who were discouraged to have faith in God. And in this verse that I've read to you this morning, the Apostle Paul compares the life of discipleship as a race. He would say, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, we know a race, a foot race, is not something that you want to be looking back when you're running, because if you look back, you're liable to trip and fall. So we need to be looking unto Jesus and not looking back at this world. You know, in our automobiles, we have a little mirror up here that'll help us look behind us. And occasionally, you might want to take a glance to see what's behind you. But you've got a big windshield in front of you as you face the future. Beloved, let's not be looking back. Let's keep running the race that God has blessed us to set out on, and run it with patience. And then I want to notice with you in verse 2 what the apostle says I think is the secret to living the Christian life: looking unto Jesus. Now that word looking means to fix one gaze on something. You continue to actively look at something. You trust it. The word here is not look at a glance at Jesus, but you keep on looking and looking and looking at him day and night as long as you live on this earth, looking unto Jesus. Not looking to the church, not looking to baptism, not looking to communion, not looking to people, not looking to the pastor or other members, but looking to Jesus. That's who we need to keep our focus on. Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Paul is encouraging these Hebrew Christians to lay aside every weight. And we can have a lot of things in this life that weigh us down. And then we're to lay aside the sin which doth so easily beset us. And I believe that sin is the sin of worry and doubting and being filled with fear and not filled with faith. So let's lay that aside and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Beloved, let's keep looking to this Jesus who loved us so much that he was willing to come down here and endure the cross. Beloved, Jesus did not enjoy the cross. He endured the cross. Let's remember that. Jesus was not a play actor up there on Mount Calvary like movie stars are when they're making movies of Jesus dying on the cross. No, he actually was being crucified. His body was being ripped and torn by the cat of nine tails. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 52 that his visage was so marred more than any man. So much so that probably his own mother would not have recognized him. Jesus endured the cross. And you know why he's up there on that cross? Not for any sin he's committed. He's up there because of the sins that you and I have committed. And he's taking our place. And he's suffering for us. And he's enduring the cross. Do we love him this morning? Is there anybody in this house today that really loves him? I believe your presence here on a Sunday morning would indicate that you do love him. We ought to love him. He's altogether lovely. He endured the cross, despising the shame. They shamed him in every way they could. The cross was a shameful death. They didn't want Jesus stoned to death or beheaded. They wanted him crucified because the worst of criminals were nailed to crosses. And people would walk by and mock them and laugh at them. And so Jesus Christ was despising the shame of the cross. Now, the apostle would say to us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we need to keep looking at him. And as we were singing the hymns this morning, and I really do appreciate all the selections that people make. You know, here we don't have a list of songs already chosen before the song service. You get to choose what we're going to sing. And that's a good thing, isn't it? Yeah. I tell you, it is. It's a wonderful thing that the congregation gets to choose what we sing. Now, we don't sing but 30 minutes, so we can't sing every song everybody would like to sing, but you can be back tonight. Come next Sunday, maybe you'll get your selection in. But we want to sing songs where we see Jesus in the songs, don't we? It's not about us. It's not about our families. It's not about our government. It's about him. And did you all notice this morning, every song we sung was about Jesus and our God. And I tell you, I can see Jesus in the hymns, in the song service. It's not so much how good we sing, it's what we sing. Amen? Now, we want to sing good. We like to have the different parts and the harmony and all of that. But let me tell you, we don't sing for praise. We sing to praise. And if you and I are singing from our hearts, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that pleases God. That worships him. That honors him. And so, yes, we want to see him in the song service. And we praise him for that. And we want to see him in prayer because our prayers ascend to God through Jesus. He is our mediator. He is our high priest. And we pray in Jesus' name. And the preaching of the gospel should all be about Jesus Christ our Lord. And so Paul would say, looking unto Jesus. So the worship service should be all about our Lord Jesus Christ. And you ought to be able to see him and worship and help us to worship him as we gather in spirit and in truth to worship the God of our salvation. But you know, beloved, there are a lot of things in this life that can distract us from looking to Jesus. Have y'all noticed that? Distractions can be dangerous. I told you all several months ago, maybe almost a year ago, I was on my way to Dublin on the Dublin Highway, almost to Trail Branch Church, and I was on my phone texting. And I came very close to hitting a car. I was being distracted. Now, I went on our group, me, and told all of y'all not to do that. How many of y'all listened? Well, I'm sad to tell you, I've caught myself doing it again. Foolish. Distractions are dangerous, especially when you're behind a wheel and trying to drive an automobile. You're not only endangering your life, you're endangering other people's lives. Well, let me tell you, beloved, Satan wants to distract our attention from our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to distract us, keep our minds on other things. Now listen, nobody on this earth in our lifetime has been able to see Jesus bodily. I haven't, and I don't think you have. We will see him bodily. You know, here's a verse that came to my mind while we were singing over in 1 John chapter 2 and verse, chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, John said, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, listen to that, when he shall appear, that is, he shows up. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I don't expect to see Jesus until his second coming. And there's no evidence in Scripture that he's coming down here to set up a 1,000-year kingdom on this earth. He's coming back to get those he bought and paid for when he came down here the first time. And when you and I see him, we're going to see him in his glory. We'll see him as he is, not as he was on a Roman cross. We're going to see him as he is. And I rejoice in that. But beloved, you and I, while we're on our pilgrimage through this world, we need to be looking unto Jesus by faith. See, when you read the Old Testament, let me tell you, if you don't see Jesus, you need to read it again, because he's all over the Old Testament. You remember those two men on the Emmaus Road after the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And these two disciples of Jesus are discouraged and defeated, and they think Jesus is still dead, and Jesus joins himself in his resurrection body, but their eyes were holding that they couldn't see who he was, and he had this conversation with them. And he said, why are y'all so downcast? Why are y'all so discouraged? And they said, are you new around here? Haven't you heard what happened in Jerusalem? The one that we thought was the Messiah has died. And Jesus looked at them and said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. And beginning at Moses and all the scriptures. Now, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And Jesus begins at Moses, no doubt at Genesis, and begins to expound to them the scriptures concerning himself. He said, why couldn't y'all see this? Listen, when you're reading the Bible, you know what it is? It's a picture album of Jesus Christ, our Lord. How many of y'all have picture albums at your home? We've got so many, we'd almost have to have another lifetime to see them all. Nelda loves pictures. And, you know, these phones now will take pictures. I've got a picture of Dan and E.D. and me on our refrigerator that I found recently. We were in school. You know, when we were kids, about the only time you ever got your picture made was at school. How many of y'all remember that? I mean, we got some school pictures, but that's about it. But we cherish those pictures. Well, why? Now, I wouldn't particularly, you know, I've told you all, I've met people on airplanes, especially grandmothers, who wanted me to look at their grandkids. I didn't know them from Adam, but I tried to be polite and say, oh, they're cute. But, you know, I wouldn't want to look at their pictures all day long. But if it's somebody you know and love, you'll look at those pictures constantly. You'll get them out and look at them. Well, I want to tell you, the Bible is a picture album of your elder brother, Jesus Christ, your Savior. He's all in there, pictures of Him all over the Old and the New Testaments. How many of y'all enjoy looking at Jesus in the Bible? That's what it's all about, the Bible, the Word of the living God. So, beloved, we need to be looking unto Jesus. But Satan does not want us looking at our Savior, Jesus Christ. He wants to distract us, to get our attention away from our Lord Jesus. Now, I want to turn with you just a moment to a passage of Scripture in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. And we have here a very interesting account of an experience in the life of the Apostle Peter. Let's look at it together this morning. Luke chapter 5, and beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, that's Simon Peter, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. In other words, the boat was his pulpit. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. That is, for a great fish. A great catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now you remember this story. They've been fishing all night and caught nothing. You know, 4 of the 12 apostles of Jesus were fishermen. Have you ever wondered why he called so many fishermen? Because fishermen don't give up. Peter had fished all night long. How many of y'all would fish all night long? I tell you, if they don't bite in 10 minutes, I'm ready to go home. But a real fisherman hangs in there. He doesn't quit. He hangs in there. And 4 of the 12 apostles of Jesus were fishermen. And they had fished all night long, and they had caught nothing. So Jesus is going to say to them, go fishing again. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. That's a big catch, isn't it? Somebody told me, you call it fishing, not catching, when you don't catch any. Well, bro, this was a catch. This wasn't just fishing. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled up both the ships, and that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, now I want you all to listen. When Simon Peter saw it, he's an experienced fisherman. He'd been fishing all night and caught nothing. And now, at the advice of Jesus Christ, he's caught a great multitude of fish. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. I want us to pause right there and see what happened to the Apostle Peter when this great miracle of fishing took place. He understands now that he is a sinner, and he says, depart from me. He's saying this to Jesus, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Now let me tell you, Peter has gotten his eyes off of Jesus, and he's got his eyes on himself. It's good that you and I know we are sinners. Paul confessed that he was the chief of sinners. But let me tell you, you don't want to dwell on your shortcomings and your failures and your mistakes so much that you lose sight of Jesus. Amen? It's very important that we keep our eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus. My failures are not something that I need to be focused on all the time. My shortcomings are not what I need to be talking about and focused on, because if I do, I'll get so discouraged I'll quit. But let me tell you, if I can keep looking to Jesus, who doesn't fail, who is my strength, who is sufficient, I'll be able to carry on. Now, listen, folks, we don't want to get so carried away with our own sins, with our own failures, that we would say to Jesus, "Depart from me." What if Jesus had answered that prayer? What if Jesus had departed from Simon Peter? You wouldn't have the two books that he wrote in the New Testament. You wouldn't have had that great sermon he preached on the day of Pentecost. Beloved, that was a foolish prayer that our beloved apostle prayed. Depart from me. Listen, beloved, because of my sins, I need him close to me at all times. How many of y'all need him? How many of y'all need to be with him and close to him all the time? You say, "Brother Sam, I'm a sinner and nothing at all." But Jesus is my all in all. And so, one distraction that can take our eyes off of Jesus is our own failures. Yeah, we're sinners, I understand that. But we don't want to be obsessed with our own sins and our own shortcomings and our own inadequacies and our own failures till we just get discouraged. We want to look to one who is able to help us in all of our weaknesses. Amen? And let me tell you, he has been helping me all of these years. Recently, we came across a reel-to-reel tape that recorded my ordination here in 1968 when I was ordained as an 18-year-old boy. We haven't been able to find a reel-to-reel recorder yet to play it, but I'm looking forward to hearing it. And I remember my Uncle Joe saying to me, I was sitting right out there, and Uncle Joe was in this pulpit, and Uncle Joe said, "Sammy," that's what they all call me, you know, Sammy. "Hey, Sammy, the hill you've started to climb is a steep hill and a lot of slick places." At 18 years of age, I had no idea what he was talking about. Let me tell you, in the last 60 plus years, I've hit a lot of those slick places, and I know what he was talking about. But I want to tell y'all, Jesus has been there for me. He's held my hand. His grace has been sufficient. And I want to tell everybody in the house today, don't get so obsessed with your own weaknesses that you lose sight of Jesus. He is our righteousness. Isn't that right? Listen, if I got what I deserved, you know, I ask people sometimes, "How you doing?" They say, I'm better than I deserve. Well, we all are. What if we got what we deserved? But I want to tell you, by God's grace, we have eternal life and a home in heaven waiting for us. Now see, if we get obsessed with looking at ourselves, there's two things can happen. Either we can get so discouraged and so beat down that we think, "Well, I'm not fit to be in the church. I have no place in the church." Or if you have a little success, you can get the big head and think, "Wow, I'm really somebody." Have any of y'all ever struggled with some of that? Come on now. You sports enthusiast, if you hit a home run, you got to watch out. It's good to hit those home runs, but you don't want to get the big head, do you? Anybody in the house today want a big head? No, let me tell you, we don't want to get carried away with ourselves. In other words, here's what the lesson is. If you're focused on yourself, you're distracted from seeing Jesus, who is our righteousness, our all in all. And you either get the big head or you get so discouraged about your failures and your own weaknesses that you just want to quit. No, looking unto Jesus. So aren't y'all glad that Jesus did not answer the prayer that the Apostle Peter prayed when he said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man"? No, Jesus didn't depart from him. He was right there in helping him along his journey in this world. And that's what you and I need to do. Now, I want to go with y'all to another familiar lesson that is found in Matthew chapter 14. And I want to notice with you, let's see, in chapter 14 and verse 22, well, let's back up to verse 20. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. Now that was a miracle, wasn't it? Next to the resurrection of Lazarus and the resurrection of Jesus, this could be the greatest miracle recorded for us in the Bible. 5,000 men, besides the women and children, are fed from a little boy's lunch. Jesus performed a miracle, and the disciples helped to spread this food. Now, after this miracle, Jesus says, in verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained the disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Now picture this. Jesus, after this great miracle, has constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go to the other side, while he goes into a mountain and he begins to pray. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." I love that, don't y'all? Listen, be of good cheer. In the midst of a raging storm that could have sunk the boat and taken their lives, Jesus says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw, now listen, as long as his eyes were on Jesus, he was walking on water. That's a miracle. Y'all ever tried to walk on water? Good luck. Unless God wants you to walk on water. But the Apostle Peter actually walked on water. It was a miracle. But then he took his eyes off of Jesus. And let me read to you what happened then. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Now, beloved, everybody in this house is going to go through storms in your life. It could be some health issue that you're dealing with, back problems, stomach problems, cancer, heart trouble, diabetes. There's all kinds of physical storms that we can go through in this life. You may be going through a financial difficulty. You know, it's just hard. The month lasts longer than the check does. Or you may be going through a relationship problem. Maybe somebody has betrayed you and betrayed your trust. And that happens, sadly, in the marriages. There are all kind of storms that you and I can go through in this life. Our children can be in trouble. That's a storm. All kinds of trouble that we can go through in this life. And if we get our eyes off of Jesus and on the storm, we're going down. You say, "Brother Sam, how can I keep my mind on Jesus when I'm in the midst of a raging storm?" By faith, you can do that. They were in the midst of this storm, And Peter was able to walk on the water until he started focusing on the wind, boisterous. He was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried saying, "Lord, save me." Now, people who don't believe in temporal salvation in the Bible, I don't know what they're going to do with that. Peter wasn't asking to be saved eternally. He was asking to be saved from drowning. "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Have you and I ever doubted? I'm sad to tell you I have. But I need to be with people like y'all. I need to be in church. I need to be singing these hymns. I need to be studying and reading this book. We need to always keep our minds on Jesus Christ, because Satan is always trying to distract us and get our minds off of Jesus. So, beloved, when you and I are going through the storms of life, let's keep our mind on Jesus Christ, our Lord, who can say, "Peace, be still." And immediately there was a calm. They went from a great storm to a great calm because a great God was in their midst. And I want everybody in the house to know today, God loves you. He's right there with you. You say, "Why did he send them out there on that boat knowing that the storm was coming?" Because he's all knowing. You see, they had just had a miracle of 5,000 people being fed in addition to the women and children. And they probably thought, "You know, we're really something." I mean, we are really somebody. We just helped feed 5,000 people with a little boy's lunch. See, you and I can get the big head pretty easy. I heard about a preacher one time who had been blessed to preach at an associational meeting, and he came down out of the pulpit, and a brother came up to him and shook his hand and hugged his neck and said, "That's the greatest sermon I've ever heard." And the preacher said, "I know it. The devil's done told me that." Preachers have got to watch out. If you have some liberty preaching, don't let it go to your head. Amen? But we can get carried away with ourselves and our own accomplishments. Our business is flourishing. Our president, we need to pray for him. You know, they had a Bible marathon in Washington, D.C. the other day from the Bible Museum, and they got President Trump to read a passage from 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. And I tell you, we all need that verse. He needs it. "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then God says, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins. I'll heal their land." I want to tell you, America is a great nation. You hear people always talking about there's never been a nation as great as America. But America is not so great that God can't take us to the woodshed. How many of y'all believe that? How many? Listen, I don't care how many missiles we've got and planes and all that. You say, "Brother Sam, you know America's military is so great, there's no way we could lose." Let me ask you, if you'd have been present when David went out to meet Goliath, Goliath's 10 feet tall, got armor from head to toe, got a sword bigger than David, and David's got a little slingshot, whose money would you, which one would you put your money on? Did y'all see the Kentucky Derby yesterday? A horse came out of, I mean, the back and ended up winning the race. That was amazing. Would your money have been on David or Goliath? I probably would have put my money on Goliath. But I want to tell you, God was with David. And if God is not with America, we're not going to continue as a nation. We're 250 years old. I thank God I was blessed to be born into this nation. I am, and I'm thankful for that. But I've got enough sense to know that America needs God as much as we ever have. And if we get the big head and think, I heard a man the other day say, we were talking about Iran, and he said, "Listen, we could have destroyed that whole nation like that." I said, "Well, that's 90 million human beings. Who wants that on your conscience?" And I'm not sure that we could do it. I don't know, but I want to know. What I do know is this. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus as a nation. We kick the Bible out of our schools. We kick prayer out of our schools. And I want to tell you, I believe it has brought, I believe honestly, it has harmed us in a great way. What fool would have ever thought that would help? And the Supreme Court of the United States has legalized abortion and homosexual marriages, spitting in God's face. You and I need God. We need to repent. As the verse says, we need to humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways and seek His face. Did y'all hear that? That's right in our text, in our subject. Seek His face. Oh, I love that. By faith, you can look at Him. Well, I want to go to another passage and then we'll close today. Another way that we can be distracted from looking to Jesus. Let's go over to John's Gospel, chapter 21. John chapter 21. Jesus Christ is resurrected. He's in His glorified body. He's meeting with His disciples. And let's notice in verse 21. Well, let's back up to verse 19. This spake He, signifying by what death He should glorify God. And when He had spoken this, He said unto him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on His breast at supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Are y'all still with me, or is it time to quit? Here's Peter, and he looks over here at John and Jesus, and Peter says, "Lord, what about John? You've told me that I'm going to have to die for you. And okay, but what about John?" How many of us spend a lot of our time looking at other people rather than us? We keep a score on everybody else. How many people keep up with who goes to church and who doesn't? I want to be at church myself. I'm responsible for Brother Sam. How about y'all? Who are y'all responsible for? You're responsible for yourself. I've heard this through the years. People would look at whoever brings dinner at church and say, "Well, so-and-so just don't bring anything." We don't really need to have our attention on everybody else. We need to be looking at me. I got enough to work on the rest of my life with Brother Sam rather than trying to straighten y'all out. Amen? And here's the Apostle Peter. And Jesus, notice what Jesus says to the Apostle. Oh, He says, "What is it to thee?" It's none of your business, Peter. None of your business. You just take care of yourself. And that's good advice. So he got his eyes off of Jesus and got them over here on John. See, I've known preachers that just sit around and talk about other preachers in a critical way. That's not becoming of us. And everybody said amen. Deacons can do the same. Song leaders can. Church members can. Let's just try to stay focused on us. Thank y'all for your wonderful attention today. And may God help all of us to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.